The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Zephaniah chapter 3. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together. For I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The good news of Jesus for today is taken from the account of St. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 18. Glory to you, O Lord. This is what happened after John the Baptist was put in prison. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and so John, calling two of them to him, sent them to the Lord and said, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? When the men had come to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you and said, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he had healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. So he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now when all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God to be just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purposes of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, We played the flute for you, you did not dance. We sang a dirge, you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated as we now continue with our baptism song. I trust you have the order of baptism in your hands, and we'll just simply follow along as it's printed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Lord Jesus instituted holy baptism when he said to his disciples in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." The apostles and evangelists of the Lord Jesus have written these words. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so we learn from the word of God that all people are conceived and born in sin and are in need of forgiveness. We would be lost forever unless we were rescued from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. So the Father of all mercy and grace sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Okay, and now I need to sort of kind of be able to access her forehead. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Listen now how the Lord Jesus opened the kingdom of God to little children. People were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear Christian parents and sponsors, it is your task today to confess with the whole Christian church your faith in the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name this child is about to be baptized. After this child has been baptized, your task is at all times to remember her in your prayers. Remind her of her baptism. Teach her its meaning and blessings so that she may grow up in the true knowledge and service of God. This means teaching her the Ten Commandments, the Christian Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and placing into her hands the Bible and bringing her to the worship services of God's people. Ultimately, your task is to provide for her ongoing instruction in the Christian faith so that she may receive the body and blood of Jesus in a worthy manner, abide in her baptismal grace as a member of the Christian church, and grow up to lead a godly life to the honor of her Savior, Jesus. If you intend to gladly and willingly do this, then answer together, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
And God enable you to desire and to accomplish this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. In order to ask the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the receiving of this child into the family of our Heavenly Father, let us pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Because this child cannot yet answer for herself, we shall all together with the parents and sponsors of this child faithfully speak on her behalf to testify to the forgiveness of sin and the birth of the life of faith which God our Father bestows in and through holy baptism. And for this portion, I would ask you to please rise. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? I do renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes,
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And please be seated. And who brings this child to be baptized? And how is your daughter named? Olivia Louise Feraldi, I baptize you with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's just like having a bath. There you go. Okay. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has now given you the new birth of the Spirit, the washing of regeneration, and has forgiven you all your sins. May he strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. His peace be with you always. Amen. Receive this burning light. Light it every year on this day to remember your adoption as a child of God by grace through faith in Jesus. And live by the light of Christ and be watching for his coming so that you may enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, our Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and that you have granted Olivia the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly ask you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal relationship so that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Once more, Lord and giver of life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child and upon all Christian parents. Let them always rejoice in the gifts you have given them. Enable them to be teachers of faith and examples of righteousness for their children. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with their children the salvation you have given them. We ask this through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Through baptism, God has added Olivia to his own people to declare the wonderful deeds of her Savior, who has called her out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Together, we welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same Heavenly Father, to work with us in his kingdom. And Olivia, the Lord bless you in all your ways from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Thanks be to God. Okay, you can extinguish the candle and return to your seats, or somebody else can extinguish the candle and return to your seats. Okay, so as the parents and godparents are returning to their seats, we'll continue with the next song. It's a little long, but it's a wonderful journey hymn, as we're going to be talking about.
Still lift your standard high, still watching for our end.
a few weeks now, we've been interviewing the prophet Isaiah. He has given us insights about God's light and God's spirit. Today, we'd like to interview him about the journey of faith, but it's awfully difficult to interview someone who is on the move. Apparently, a new road has opened, and Isaiah is in a rush to get to his destination. I've been trying to catch up to him all day, but the road is flooded with people, and I can't find him. Can't catch up with him, and I can't get anyone to slow down. I guess you'd be running too if all you knew your whole life was wilderness, wasteland, and the physical, emotional, and spiritual harm that it did to your body, soul, and spirit. But a new road has been constructed. A new way has been made. Isaiah knows the wilderness is left behind. And now destination is just ahead. The smell of joy is in the air. And I can hear Isaiah up ahead proclaiming the message loudly and clearly. Can you hear him? This may be as close as we get to an interview today.
The desert shall rejoice and blossom. It will rejoice with joy and singing. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Behold, your God is coming to save you. The sick and the lame will be healed. The wilderness will be filled with water, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, for sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Well, that is Isaiah up ahead, and that is what he sees. So let us follow him with confidence. Let's follow him in certainty, even though we may find ourselves in a wilderness wasteland, because there is hope and there is joy. Isaiah, what is it like to live in the wilderness?
Well, in the desert, not much of anything grows. Life is always lived in the extreme. The heat is oppressive, but you'll be glad to hear it's a dry heat. Sandstorms are brutal. It's hard to stay clean for more than an hour. And water is the most precious commodity, not money and not gold.
Well, Isaiah, I guess it's hard for us modern-day Americans to understand that. Water flows freely from the faucet. Grocery store shelves are mostly stocked with supply more than we could ever imagine. Garden shops grow beautiful plants and flowers. The wilderness seems far, far away from our everyday experience.
Yes, indeed it does, but you must realize something, that sometimes wilderness is not physical, but it's emotional, or it's spiritual. It isn't the land that's cracked necessarily, it's your heart. It isn't the soil that's parched, it's your soul. It isn't the physical night that is so long and dark and dreary. It's the deep darkness of your spirit inside.
How true that is. Sin makes for weak hands, feeble knees, and anxious hearts. Selfish sinners can only crawl along the desert floor, desperate for a refreshing glass of water, but never finding it.
Yes, and you don't need to experience a desert to know what wilderness is about. I'm sure you have had your own 40 days or 40 weeks or 40 months or even 40 years of wilderness wandering in your life. You probably know wilderness not as a physical place, but as that place in your life that's filled with anxiety, or that place that's filled with insecurity, or that place that is filled with fear. It might be your family. It might be your health. It might be your job, some circumstance that you're in, or simply just trying to make sense out of life.
Isaiah, the children of Israel knew all about the wilderness wandering long before we did, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and they didn't like it at all, just like we don't like it. While they were out there in the wilderness, they grumbled and complained to Moses, who was leading them, and they said, "Give us water to drink." But Moses came back at them and asked them, "Why are you so ungrateful? Why are you testing the Lord?" But these people were so thirsty and complaining that they grumbled to Moses even more. And they said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock literally die of thirst in the wilderness?"
Yes, that's the problem when people don't understand why they have to go through trouble in life. The children of Israel thought they would go directly from the slavery of Egypt right to the milk and honey. They didn't expect a 40-year stay in the wilderness. But there was no way to get to the promised land except by way of desert wilderness. But joy for the Christian comes even in the wilderness through the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus, the one who paved the way to the glory in the wilderness of this world by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Looks like Isaiah is getting ahead of us again. At least we can still hear him.
The desert shall rejoice and blossom. It will rejoice with joy and singing. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Behold, your God is coming to save you. The sick and the lame will be healed. The wilderness will be filled with water, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. And the ransomed, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, because they shall obtain gladness and joy, for sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Well, now we know why Isaiah is up ahead. He's running to Zion, the ultimate promised land, on the road that has been constructed for him, for you, and for me. He has thrown off the distractions, the trials, the troubles, the disabilities of this world, and he has given them to the one who has purchased and paved the way. In fact, the one about whom Isaiah prophesied once called himself the Way. Jesus is the way of holiness. He is the Holy One who walks the road even ahead of Isaiah to clean it and clear it so that every distraction, every trial, every trouble and disability, every sin is done away with and the road is ready for all of us. I wish I could catch up with Isaiah. I want to ask him about the special word he uses for God's people. He calls them the redeemed. Hey, Isaiah, can you tell us about the special word you use for the redeemed?
Sure, it comes from the Hebrew word goel. Goel is the one who redeems. He is the redeemer, the one who intervenes on behalf of someone else. Sometimes it's used for the next of kin who takes on his helpless relative's needs as though they were his own. Sometimes he's called the kinsman redeemer. That person is also often called the avenger, the one who has the right to pursue the murderer of his next of kin. Sometimes we don't rely on the police or the courts, but in the Bible, the avenger, the kinsman redeemer, the goel, is the one who takes on the needs of the family that's been injured, wounded, and he makes things right.
Well, at this time of year, we celebrate with joy the one who is our avenger in the wilderness of this world. In the journey of life, Jesus has, through grace-filled word, water, and sacrament, identified us as his next of kin, taking our needs as though they were his own, putting his own body up on a tree instead of ours, and paying the price for our sin so that the journey of wilderness wandering becomes a journey of joy, on our way to a joy that will know no bounds. It's no wonder Isaiah runs on up ahead. He is on the road called the Way of Holiness, and so are we. It's a toll road that has already been paid for by the blood of the one about to be born in Bethlehem. It is a road reserved for those whose sins have been forgiven. It is a road where there is gladness. It is a road where sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It is a road where there may not always be happiness, but there is always the joy of the Lord. Right, Isaiah?
Absolutely. It's the road that leads to Zion, the promised land of life, where wilderness is no more, where blossoms are abundant, where the singing of saints and angels knows no parallel, where the glory of Lebanon is, to use my words, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon will shine with abundance of every need being met. It is there that we will finally see the ultimate glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God.
Well, all of us should run ahead and try to catch Isaiah. Glory and joy await us in the promised land.
Thank you for that little break. It was nice to take a nap. while Isaiah was talking to you all. Let's continue our service now as we receive the tithes and offerings we have brought for the Lord. We'll receive them in the offering plate. If you wish, there's one standing in the back that you can deposit your offering into or send it in the mail or donate online as well. And then as we do so, we can listen and watch this next song.
Please rise for prayer.
O wisdom from on high, we pray you lead us by your Spirit to rejoice in all that you have done to demonstrate your love for us, even as we walk the road through the wilderness of our lives. Move the leaders, pastors, teachers, and all the people of your kingdom to rejoice in the Lord always because of your promises and your presence with us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O desire of nations, we pray you to bless the leaders of nations, in particular our president and Congress, our governor and legislature, all judicial officials, and all local leaders. Move all people who have been entrusted with the authority of government to cease any kind of envy or boastfulness, injustice or corruption. Guide our leaders to be honorable people who do not neglect the poor and the helpless, and who strive toward the flourishing of all human beings. Bless those who serve in our armed forces to protect our country. Lift up refugees and all victims of war, wherever they may be, and bring peace between us and our enemies, and let your peace reign over this broken world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O day spring from on high, we pray you come to the aid of all who are in any kind of need. As you humbly enter this world as a baby, help all of us to humbly enter the lives of those who are sick, facing surgery, dying, or struggling with any kind of issue of body, soul, or spirit, to offer them comfort, hope, peace, and a sense of your presence. We especially pray for those who are listed in our newsletter and those that are near and dear to our hearts as we mention them now, either quietly or out loud. Bring healing according to your will and peace to those whose suffering continues. Thank you for the work of doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals who work toward healing and the restoration of wholeness. And guide scientists searching for cures for diseases that may bring an end to suffering in this world, that their work might lead to success and to healing for many. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O King of David, let your joy, your forgiveness, your peace, your grace, your mercy flow freely in and among the families of our congregation. Empower our parents and grandparents to love their children and our children to love their parents and grandparents. Watch over all who travel. Comfort and heal families that are separated by many miles or by broken relationships. And let families be places where your love is demonstrated to strangers as well as to friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of might, help us to see in the miracles of Jesus a sign pointing forward to that day when he will come again in great glory to restore all creation. And until that day, help us to be instruments by which our wandering world may come to see Jesus as the one who alone brings true joy into their lives in the wilderness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Emmanuel, you deliver your people even from the grip of death. Comfort those who mourn, we pray, and use us to express the hope that comes from trusting in you and in your sure and certain promises. Bring us to be with them on that great day to come. And until that day, give us grace to endure life's difficulties as we walk through the wilderness of this world, while also abiding in your love and your joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You, O Lord, know the thoughts of our hearts, and you hear those prayers that come to you sometimes in sighs that are too deep for words. And so we entrust all of our prayers to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
taper out. See, these things.
Does it, Charlotte, do the tables taper out or taper back?
They taper straight. The taper goes into the window.
Okay, go straight.
The edges go.
Oh, it's...
So look at the profile. You've got to get from wide to narrow.
Yeah.
Pop that other one in.